Good morning, everyone, and welcome once again to another Saturday of Coffee Tea with Me. Today, we're happy to announce that we have two of our very own who are going to guide us through food, glorious food. Now, if you saw the picture but did not click on it, and any of you ever saw the Broadway show Oliver, you click on the picture, and I'll give you the song from Oliver, Food, Glorious Food. If you're not interested, do not click the picture. All righty. I guess we could start with each of the boys doing some opening statement. So let's go ahead and start with Joe. You got an opening statement for the boy, the group?
Yeah, I think I can speak to that, keep it brief. So those don't you know me and those welcoming back, my name's Joe. My wife and I, Carrie Ann, we stumbled upon Mel a little over 3 years ago when Carrie started experiencing symptoms of not just Lyme, but all the other co-infections, which come to find out what Morgellons is, and have been on the protocol since then. Wife is on the extended one, has been maintaining it very well. Mel, you'll be happy to know we talked about this week earlier, and she said, Joe, when was the last time I was actually bedridden for a full day or even half a day due to this? And I said, I don't remember. It's been so long now. So it's working. It's slow, but the progression is there. It's wonderful. Just to maintain my immune support and working with Mel and back home here, I'm on the basic protocol just to keep me healthy as can be as well, keep my environment aligned with Carrie's. I guess my purpose here today with Peter, and if you heard me last time or the last couple times, I have a bit of knowledge on nutrition in general, and my knowledge comes from working with a couple nutritionists for the better part of 3 or 4 years, and I was doing competitive shows and working on my own body and understanding how food works within the body and doing a little more research. Definitely not the extent that Peter has. Peter brings that extra bit of knowledge on a lot of the areas that I really can't speak to a lot. But I think together we can answer some pretty big questions and really help some guidance here. That's me.
Okay. Pete, would you like to make an opening statement?
Yeah, good morning, folks. I'd like to lead us in prayer, if we might, before I begin, Al. I mean, Mel, would that be okay?
No problem.
Yeah, dear Heavenly Father, we are so encouraged to be here this morning, all of us. You've gathered us again in this beautiful forum. And we're just honored to be here and joyous as well. Thank you, Father, for the gift on the cross, for what you've done for us. Thank you for your word, which gives us a conduit to you. Thank you for prayer, which gives us a voice with you and the opportunity to enter into a deeper relationship with you. So, Father, we invite you into this dialogue, this discourse today. Come alongside us, strengthen us and encourage us, and have us fulfill all the needs of the people here today, and bless each and every one of us as we move forward today in this call. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I'm happy, Joe. It's an honor to come beside you, brother. You have stepped up over the years, and thank you for the kind words you spoke on me, but I want to return the favor. You've been an incredible gift to this community. You understand nutrition in ways that are so valuable to this disease, and I would tell your audience, Mel, that Hippocrates 4,000 years ago, the father of medicine, said, let your foods be your medicine and watch your medicine become your food. He also said, if you're not acting as your own physician, you're a fool. So, you know, Mel teaches you folks here how to take your own health back, because the nature of Morgellons disease, Lyme and other toxic diseases demand that we understand how to do that. And foods are critical and central to that process. So I kind of wanted to come alongside Joe this morning and be here to help compliment his wisdom and answer questions and just be a part, be in the midst of everyone here again. It's an honor and a joy. So, yeah, that's about all I have to say to begin. And just let the Holy Spirit take questions and take the direction of this course in a way that, that would best serve everyone here.
All right. Well, as you may or may not know, in the beginning, there was no diet. There was no website. There was no forum. There was nobody but me. And I didn't know what to do, so I chose to eat more like a rabbit, or like people did 100,000 years ago. I ate some nuts. I ate lots of veggies. I had a salad every single day. And I ate meat 3 times a week, a chicken breast, a hamburger, and a 4-ounce piece of steak. So after X amount of years, I think we had our first diet and article section created. John supplied most of the articles, and Peter helped formulate the original diet section, which there are articles in the articles and diet section from all the way back then, including our first call on diet was called, I think it was called Foods Around the World, because then we actually had people coming from other countries other than just Scotland, okay, to gain information. So I think that if you take a peek, you won't spend a long time there, but you'll learn about the beginnings, because it's evolved. When we turned to delicious recipes for your dining enjoyment back in 2016, that's where everything came after. And maybe the first year or so, there were not any pictures. But after that, I demanded that people put pictures to these things by sending them to me, and I would incorporate them in the post, because pictures worth 1,000 words. And if you see something that looks appetizing to you, there's no doubt in my mind, okay, that you're going to go ahead and take a shot at making that recipe. All right. So let me just welcome a few other people who joined us just a little bit after everyone else. 530-530. Is that California? Area code 530. Your first name, please. You can make one up. All right. 530 is 530. That's all right. All right. Good morning, 919. Who's that? Oh, I know who that is.
It's me, Mel.
It's Norma, right?
No, come on.
Okay. No, I got it now. Okay. And also, we have Catherine of the Desert.
Hello.
Hi, Catherine, and welcome, honey.
Thank you.
All right. Let's see if we can find something that you love that's a no-no. Mel, be nice. All right, Catherine, I'm glad you're here. I hope this helps today. I really do. You're getting better after a long time, and we want you to keep heading in that direction. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go in the order and ask people to pick Joe or Peter, and after they're finished answering it, I'm going to have the other one add his two cents as well. So let's start with my most favorite aunt, Aunt Laura. Welcome.
Well, thank you, and good morning. And I actually do not have any questions. I just know that I heard that Peter was going to be on the call, and I think this is so wonderful, the knowledge that both he and Joe will bring to this community on diet. And so I just actually wanted to stop by and, reach out to my brother in Christ and say it's wonderful to have you back on the conference calls, and such a vast amount of knowledge that you bring to this community. And, actually, Mel, I'm looking forward to the Three Amigos. back together again. And I certainly will show up for that call and put my 2 cents worth in. But I again just wanted to stop by and just say hello and tell everyone that you are in the right place. The knowledge is here, and just stay the course.
Okay, well, it's interesting. We already did one.
Yeah.
No, we did. We did one about 6 weeks ago. You can listen to it, and we'll do another one in March or thereabouts.
Yes, and I'm so sorry I missed that one. Yes, I do.
Well, you can
that.
Always listen to it. You can always listen to it. That's one of the great things about the calls. They are recorded. Okay,
yeah.
Aunt Laura, we all love you, honey. We're glad that you joined us. I'm sorry Cheryl's not here. I'm sorry Donna's not here. I was told that it was really possible Deanna, Aunt Laura, who you know, who was the first treasurer of the He Cures All Foundation, as well as you were the first secretary. So I thought how cool it would be if you both showed up.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Don't worry, I'll get it. I'll have it happen yet. You'll see. And you're always invited to prayer because prayer these days is terrific. All right, as we move along. Okay, Duncan. Oh, boy, I'll bet you Duncan's got questions.
Yeah, hi, Mel. One question, probably for Peter. Doing a little bit of research on, one of the root causes of Morgellons disease, and apparently it's this Borrelia bacteria that's also associated with Lyme disease, and I think. I guess my question is, has anybody, I think that could be identified by a blood test. Is that correct?
Do
you have that bacteria?
Yeah. Good morning, Duncan. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
So this question is from Duncan?
Yes.
Yes, but that response was from someone else. Okay.
Yes.
So... if you think I'm confused, don't worry, you're not. Okay, whoever that was, welcome. Okay, I think it was area code 817. 817, was that you?
Mrs. Duncan. Good morning.
Well, good morning to you as well, and I'm glad you're here.
Who is that? Who is that?
I didn't get that.
What is your name, first name?
Roberta.
Okay, Roberta, welcome, but you're not Duncan. All right, we'll get back to you in a bit, Roberta. Just welcome and just kick back and listen. Duncan, come
yes,
in,
sir.
Duncan.
Yes.
Don't call me sir, call me Mel, call me Duncan, but don't call me sir.
So let me see if I might address your question, Duncan. And good morning,
all
Roberta.
Right.
I'm glad you're here as well, Roberta. Duncan, Borrelia is the causative, is the name of the bacteria that is the causative agent for Lyme disease. There's over 40 different species that we know of Borrelia alone. So it is a spirochete, which is a type of bacteria that is a corkscrew type bacteria. It's what's called gram negative, which means it has no cell wall, so it makes it intracellular, which makes it extremely difficult to eradicate. And it includes one in every 1,000 of this particular spirochete called Borrelia that fuels Lyme is called the E3 persister cell, which is resistant to antibiotics, forms biofilms, is highly acidic, and that's the problem with Lyme. We can get it under control, but then these persister cells, when the immunity system wanes, will come back and challenge us again with symptoms. So the testing, as far as the testing for that part of your question, there's three, normal blood work, which they offer with most primary care physicians, and PPOs and such do not really are not reliable. Even the testing that is available, that is best to test for it, is known to produce false positives and false negatives. So the one that's most reliable is probably one called the Western blot. It includes 50 or 55 different columns where we look where they test for markers. And in the 30, 40, and 50 categories, you look for specific markers. If you have all of those markers, then you have a pretty good assurance that you're positive for Lyme. The other test that's well acknowledged is called the ELISA, E-L-I-S-A, and it looks for certain markers, but it can give false negatives because, or false positives because it may show the presence of DNA that's been changed because Borrelia has been there, whereas the Borrelia may not be present at the moment. Those are the two tests that come to mind. Oh, the last one is PCR. Stands for polymerase chain reaction, which just looks again for DNA markers. So those tests are pretty expensive. They're not normally covered or offered by primary care physicians. And then again, the best way I dealt with Lyme is to assume that you have Lyme. It's present in most of us that have Morgellons. And then, of course, Mel's protocol treats for it. And using specific foods, sterols, and macro and micronutrients in foods are the best way to eliminate the bacteria or bring the body into its own state of immune response to where it does it on its own. So, and foods, why we're here this morning, is critical to the process, in my humble opinion.
All right, let me stop you here, okay? Only because, and Duncan, I mean, I really dig you, buddy. I mean, you don't think so, but I do, because you just have the great curiosity. Okay, I just, you know what they say, though. Curiosity once killed the cat. But I want to just say this to everybody. This call today is dedicated to food. If there is time when we are done with that subject, I will open the floor up to anything anybody else wants to ask. But until that point in time, we get through everybody getting food, glorious food out of the way, I'm going to ask you to hold your questions just to the subject that we're trying to deal with today. Okie doke. Let me see who's next. And if there's background noise where you are, be courteous and mute yourself. All right. I have to get in front of the computer. I'm walking back and forth trying to get me a cup of coffee. Okay. All right, let's see. Okay. Mr. and Mrs. What's their names? Diane and Paul, come in. I'm so glad you're not lost in the jungle. I'd have to send out the picture of the plane crash and ask you to report in.
Oh, no, Mel. Gosh, no. No, but we've been out in the desert. I'm surprised we didn't run into Catherine out there. We've been spending a lot of weekends baking ourselves just to staying warm out in Palm Springs. But we're back home.
Baby.
Yeah, we take a little drive out to Palm Springs. But we don't have, you know me, I always have a question that pops up in the interim somewhere. But I think Paul might have a question. So here's Paul.
Yeah, hi, good morning, everybody, Peter and Joe.
So, hi, Paul.
Somebody. Morning, brother.
Yeah. So my question to Peter and Joe, one or the other, whoever's the expert, is talk about the importance of fat in our diet.
Getting enough fat in our diet.
Okay, well, let Peter go first, and since it's about food, we're going to have Joe go second. We're going to try to get to the format. So go, Pete.
Well, actually, I'm really curious to hear Joe's views on fats. I was wondering if we could have him respond first, but I'm really curious about his views on fats. I don't know that he's ever shared them.
Okay, well, let me just tell you this before Joe goes. I wish I wasn't fat. Go ahead, Joe.
No, thanks, Peter, for directing it to me and Paul and Diane. Thanks for the question. As soon as I heard that, I kind of grinned a little bit because, to Peter's point, I never have really talked about fats. But something I've really learned over the years with nutritional coaching is, just like we talk about calories and carbs and other macronutrients, not all fats are created equal. I mean, there really are true healthy fats and not so healthy fats. And the healthy fats, like our omega-6s and 3s, those are definitely needed in the body. They help with inflammatory issues. They help with pushing through the food and everything into the system and throughout the body. I call it, when Carrie asked about it, I call it greasing the wheels, so to speak. I think honestly for me and my body, a good amount of healthy fats really helps keep me regular, honestly. We don't have time to go into this, but there are studies that are saying that, you know, we talk about fiber all the time, but how fiber could be counterintuitive because it could kind of clog up the system, keep it clogged versus pushing things through. It's a little tougher, whereas the fats really help keep that regular. So healthy fats are good. I have maintained in my nutrition where what I'll do, and I don't want to get too into the weeds with it, but wherever I want to on a given day maybe reduce my total carb intake, if it's a little higher, I offset that intake with my fats, actually, and I don't really adjust my proteins. My proteins are where they're at. Those I never adjust, but I usually will counter the two with, or interchange the two with carbs and fats. So it's a really good question. It's an interesting point. Before Pete goes in, we talked about, you said you about the different foods. I mean, my first go-to on any type of fat is an avocado. Avocados, nuts as well, and I know there's different types of nuts that Mel can talk her ears off about which ones are good and which ones maybe stay away from, but avocados are probably like the most powerful superfood that is a healthy fat. That is a great one to use. Nut butters are good. Some, again, better than others, like almond butter, of course. Butter, if you're using it for cooking and vegetables, you'll hear Mel, you know, over and over talk about Kerrygold butter. Again, probably a little on the not as powerful side, but still has some good amounts in there, and you're not using a ton of it with the cooking either. But that's kind of my take on the fat side.
Okay, well, the only thing I could really add to that, and then Pete is going to go through the roof smiling. Omega-3s are in the protocol for a reason, guys. No comment, Pete? No comment?
Oh, yeah. No, I was just making sure I allowed you to finish. Absolutely. First of all, the balance to omega-3s and omega-6s, as Joe said, is extremely important. Like the omega-3s, they're a type of polyunsaturated fatty acid. They fall into the category, it's also called essential fatty acids. Essential means you simply can't make them yourself. So you've got to source them externally, either from food or supplementation. And the three types of omega-3s, and they are in John and Logos, essential omegas, are called ALA. These are just the acronyms for them, EPA, and I believe the third one is DHA. ALA is alpha-linoleic acid. It's mostly metabolized in your intestines and your liver, and it's used for energy. It's a shorter fatty acid. It's also a precursor to making longer fatty acids. 1 to 10%, I would say, of ALA is converted into EPA, a second omega-3, and about 0.5 to 5% is converted into DHA, which stands for docosahexaenoic acid, which, by the way, is very good for the kidneys. So we can see that the essential omegas are also helpful for those people that maybe on dialysis are struggling with kidney failure. And interestingly, women are better at converting the ALA into the EPA and DHA. The essential omegas has all three, sourced from fish oil and it's also sourced from plant-based sources as well. So how much do you need? Let's see. I would say the recommended daily intake for omega-3s by age group would be, if you're 16 years and older, you need at least a gram a day, so you can look at the supplement information you're getting on John's. But there's no real official guideline. It's also important for brain health. So I would say 250 to 500 milligrams a day for most adults would be a good dose. And I think John has about 150 milligrams. So John doesn't want to get toxic for anyone. So that's why we take a couple of them in Mel's protocol dosing schedule. Lastly, I would say, I believe in 2019, there was a review of about 44 studies that were published in the PLFA, which is a highly specialized medical journal that I go to regularly. And the jury is still out on whether or not, you know, plant sources or fish sources are best to get them. But I advocate for foods like salmon, which has a very good blend of all three of those essential threes. And so there's a lot to do. It's going to reduce anyone's risk for heart disease, which is importantly significant in the post-COVID arena we're in. They've been shown effective to lower LDL cholesterol and triglycerides. They can also raise your good cholesterol, HDL, and they're also very good for the brain because about 85% of our brain is fat. And as Joe mentioned, the omega-3s have a very potent anti-inflammatory and antioxidant effect, again, in the brain. So those people that are having brain fog are going to benefit from them. And I like what Joe said. If you have stool issues where you get bound up or constipated, take a couple of them at night with, believe it or not, some vitamin C, and those will both act to loosen up your stool and move the transit of your stool through the bowel and help you with that. Okay. Lastly, the most notable effects of fats are, again, cardiovascular, rheumatoid arthritis. They're very important for bone and joint health, and just the overall inflammation control in the body. We could go deeper and deeper and deeper, but I think that's a good foundation to add on to what Joe said for healthy essential fats and omegas. Okay?
All right. So the crux of the matter is the only negative is a big belly. No, I'm only kidding.
Actually, fats may not even do that to you, Phil. Fats may actually help you lose weight. I think it's been sold that fats aren't healthy. They're very healthy. They can boost your mood. They can, they do so much. They can support eye health as well. So that's why they're in your protocol, and they're very, very important to overall health. I don't miss my omegas. I suggest you folks eat healthy. Chia seeds, flax seeds are good for omega sixes and threes. And it's just very good to keep them in your diet and to supplement in this protocol with them.
Yeah, a lot of times, Peter, I remember in your time of getting well, you went to different seeds as part of your regular diet. Is that correct?
Oh, that's correct, yeah. The best source
not
of ale.
An old man's memory, huh?
Not bad at all, my brother. Very well done. The best source of ALA is flax oil or flax seeds. EPA and DHA is, again, very important, but there's alga oil, fish oils, lots of things out there, lots of foods. So take your discovery into foods that provide omega-3 rich algae, the plant source of the DHA. And, the EPA and DHA works with B12, D3, iodine, zinc, K2, magnesium, all the trace minerals, which we get deficient in with Morgellons as well. So they're also helping with other aspects of your protocol now.
No, I understand that. And, Pete, why did we, you and me, and then everyone else, why did we fall in love with Kerrygold butter when you and I have always been stressed out about not enough money, and yet we still went and bought that more expensive butter? Why? I don't know why. Me, it was instinct. You, it was something.
Well, we spoke about it on one of your most recent calls. GABA, some folks may have heard of GABA. It'll help with sleep, but it produces alpha-butyric acid or butyrol, butter, They kind of connected there. And that creates in the gut something, a brain chemical called brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which is kind of like the fertilizer. If your brain's a garden, it's the fertilizer for your garden that keeps the myelin sheaths that protect your brain nerves healthy. So it will deter from Alzheimer's. It'll keep your energy, your mental focus up. And so butter is very important because it makes butyrol in the gut, and that's why it's such a healthy alternative to refined oils. Take all refined oils out of your diet, folks.
Okay.
That's why.
You know, Peter, you know what I remember most about the early calls that we did on diet?
Mm-hmm.
You were always yelling at me and telling me to throw things out of my icebox.
The hard challenge for me is to make it understandable for you folks, because foods is a deep dive, as Joe can well attest. Chia seeds are really good again. I suggest you don't buy ground seeds that you grind them on your own, that you get a coffee grinder machine, because seeds and refined oils can go rancid without really giving you indication that they are. And the way they're processed is just very, very toxic. So olive oil, coconut oil, the basics that we advocate for here. And, of course, you know, flax and chia seeds, add them in your smoothies, but grind them as you go, as you use them. And, you know, supplement with John's essential omegas. You will be giving your body adequate support for the free radical damage that Morgellons is occurring at a cellular level. Okay.
Sounds good, Pete. Sounds good. Did that help, Paul?
Yeah. Yeah.
Come in, Mr. and Mrs.
We got a follow-up question.
Go.
Oh, okay. It's me now. It's my turn.
Okay, no problem.
I take a little tablespoon of Benefiber in the morning, but I was reading the ingredients, and it said wheat dextrin. And I don't know what that is. Can Pete or Joe? Pete, it's called wheat dextrin. That's the only ingredient in Benefiber, and I don't even have any idea what it is.
Joe, do you have any comments on that?
Other than what Mel, I think, just said right there, if I heard the word dextrose, I've come to learn that any ingredient that ends in OSE, dextrose, glucose, whatever, is a form of sugar or sugar alcohol.
It's dextrin, T-R-I-N.
Dextrin. Yeah, I'm not sure on the trend side, but Mel, maybe you know, I think you chimed in there, if that's the same. I don't know. I'm not too familiar with that now.
Well, okay. I can put it in the Google search engine while we're on the call, or someone could put it in the Google search engine. But I don't like the sound of it, and my instincts said sugar. So I can be wrong, but my instincts didn't jump at it out of nowhere for no reason. So you got to do more research. Go ahead and put it in a Google search while we're on the call. Come back and tell us what you found.
Okay, I just wondered if it might be...
There's so many things I don't know. I put it in a Google search, and most of them I find out. I mean, it's amazing.
And it might be contraindicated with our protocol. That's what my concern is. It might be...
Right, yeah, so you send me... Send me an email, and I'll find out for you, and I'll call you on the phone.
Okie doke. Okie doke.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, Diane, this is Peter. Is it a food-based product? A couple quick questions. Is it a food-based product? And is it anywhere on the labeling that says soluble fiber?
Let me look at the bottle. I mean, Benefiber is, it's pretty much a, I mean, it's a main, it says it's plant-based fiber. Benefiber is prebiotic fiber supplement.
Okay, I would echo Mel's concern. You know, we have a guiding principle that he came up with years ago called don't mix protocols, and you're getting adequate support. Now, if you want to add fiber, here's a quick food tip for you and for anyone listening. If you take Granny Green apples, organic if possible, wash them real well, cut them into spoon-sized bites, throw them into a quart-sized pan, and however much they fill the pan, add about a third of the water up. Don't cover them completely. Cook them on high for about 5 minutes. You'll see that they'll start to glisten after 3 to 5 minutes. The glisten is the releasing of pectin. People are finding, I've seen studies that are showing great value to apple pectin, which is why Granny Green apples are an acceptable food early on with our disease as well. But if you cook those down with a little cinnamon and eat those during a meal, keep them in your fridge. When you go by your fridge and you're hungry for a snack, have a couple tablespoons of these cooked down apples. They will create something called intestinal alkaline phosphatase, which controls zonulin, the enzyme that opens and shuts our villi so that we can have proper food absorption. Okay, so it's a great food trick, and this is why applesauce is good as well, but cooked apples all the way to the sauce kind of takes out the soluble fibers. My point is, Diane, I would want you to focus on soluble fiber, which comes from fruits. Billy Bob fruit, if you can find it, coffee fruit, there's lots of things, and agaves have a form of inulin that's really good. Acacia has good soluble fiber. So that food trick, and then looking for foods that have soluble fiber, which is a liquid type of fiber, aside from your cellulose fiber, is very, very good for stool trends and for our disease as well.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Thank
you
so much.
That's a great trick for you guys. You know, throw them in your fridge, and I did a whole body of study on it. It's very, very helpful to gut health, okay?
Okay, sir. Thank you so much. I'll try that instead. Thank you.
You bet.
Now I'm going to have to send you a ticket to you to come here and take me shopping. No wonder I'm not Superman.
You can fly Joe and us out. You can fly Joe and us out and take us to your favorite restaurant, brother.
Hey.
Yep.
Oh, boy. I do have a favorite restaurant here. And I actually wrote, a testimonial for the restaurant. And the guy actually really likes me. He got 1,000 responses, and I can't pay when I go there. He won't take my money. I got a favorite restaurant. But it looks like I'm going to be heading back west, either in April, May, or the latest September, October. Narrowed it down to two places I'm thinking of moving back to. All right. So let's keep on keeping on. I'm glad you're here, Diane and Paul. I knew you would show today. I kind of knew it. All right. Let's see. Margaret, she's always good for a couple of good questions. This one. Come in, Margaret.
Hey, I'm running errands. Can you come back to me now? Sorry.
No, that's okay. Don't worry. I can definitely come back. Lori, she's never at a loss. Come in, Lori. Whoop, don't mute her, Mel.
Hi, Peter.
Come in, Lori.
Hi, Peter and Joe. Thank you. Can you hear me? I'm here.
Yeah, we hear you.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning. All right, so I thought I was doing well on this diet, and I am doing awful on the diet. I don't understand the alkaline diet, apparently. My blood work didn't come out great. Some of it did, some of it didn't. My pH is off, and so I need a little help. And we can start with... I recently listened to you say Rainbow Diet, and of course went up to the store to get the book, and they didn't have it, but Mel said I could download it on the thing here. I tried to, I couldn't get it to print. Kind of in a loss. So pH levels should be, mine's sitting at a 6, and I thought that was good, and that is not good. For this diet, where should my pH be?
Okay. Let me stop you here for a minute, Lori. Joe and Pete and everyone on the call, she just had some blood work done, and we got it all together. And John and I did a reading of her blood work with her. And it appears that there is more information, but because of how much she works, she hasn't really been able to even pull it off the website. So I'm thinking that She ought to make a list of questions, send it to me, and I'm going to send it to both of you with her email address and let you both respond. And we can focus in on her personal needs, because she's anxious once again, which is one of the things that hinders your health, being anxiety, because the blood work wasn't good. But if she knows what to do, she does everything right. She just doesn't know and hasn't been able to put the time in. So you make a list of questions, Lori, and I'll send them to the boys and let them respond to you so we can personalize this for your needs.
Okay.
And talk about your white and red blood cells, okay? Because we're going to have to, you know, work on that part for you, too.
Okay.
But I tell you this, Lori, don't worry, okay? There are so many people who are brilliant in the world. I am not one of them, okay? I have a certain amount of knowledge and a tremendous gift from the Lord. But there are so many people who are brilliant that I helped get well and are willing to come back and help and can give us more knowledge because they continue to research day in and day out. And I don't have that kind of time because I have all of you to talk to and try to keep you on the right path. So you don't have to worry. These boys heard. They're going to hear about your blood work. They're going to get back to you with specific answers to specific questions.
Okay.
Lori, if it's the last thing I do, I'm going to get you better, baby.
You've got till June 29th. Cause my son.
No. You're related to one of my favorite cowboys. How can I not do that?
Right. Yeah. Thanks, Mel.
All right. Now, just get me an email. I'll get it off as soon as I get it to them. You know how quick I can be. All right. Nancy. Fancy Nancy. Come in, girl.
Good afternoon, everybody.
I got a list. I wrote it down.
Oh, my God. And you can't find it. That's like the red. The bread recipe. She sends me the picture, a beautiful loaf of bread, okay? And then comes the meatball recipe from someone else. And then Tia wants spaghetti. She's dying for spaghetti. And it took Nancy 3 weeks after she sent me the picture to find a recipe that she lost. So did you make a list? Do you have it in front of you?
Yes, I did. And that's what I've been doing for the last 3 weeks since I've been feeling better, is going through everything in my house, organizing it, and get it back the way I always kept it. It's just taken
a
while. You remember the horrors I had when it started with a different protocol, and so everything was just destroyed and messed up and packed up and told me to move out and everything else. But anyway, we're back on the road to recovery, and that's the main thing. All right, what I want to ask you is about organic buckwheat, and is it Quint, Q-U-I-N-O-A, and F-A-R-R-O? It's three different types of cereal or bread things, and also the A-M-A-R-A-N-R-H, ancient grain.
Okay, let's do one at a time. What is the first question?
About the organic buckwheat.
Okay. Pete, organic buckwheat? Oh, I think I muted him because he had background noise. That was not... All right. Come in, Pete. Organic buckwheat.
Yeah, buckwheat is an ancient grain. I ate a lot of it early on. Hi, Nancy, by the way, and hey, Lori. I think it's a very good substitute for wheat and white bread. There's a type of buckwheat called Tartary, T as in Tom, A-R-T-A-R-Y, Tartary buckwheat that's grown at the base of the Himalayas. It's a miracle food. You can order the flour through Dr. Jeffrey Bland, his website. I spoke about this before, Mel, and they'll send you a pound package of it. And you can make pancakes. You can bake with it. It's a wonderful, wonderful food. Joe, I'd be curious if you and Carrie Ann eat buckwheat.
To your point, though, being an ancient grain, I personally use it. I think Carrie could be fine with it now, based where she is on her journey. I think it's one of those ones, Pete, where it's got a plethora of benefits, but is it so high on the carb intake when you're first starting out? Is it a good way to start on the protocol or diet? Maybe after the first month or two, I think reincorporating buckwheat is great. I definitely have used it as a substitute for some of my other wheats or flour bases. I've actually mixed it in with my steel-cut oats to thicken it up even more. We've used it for pancakes before. So, yeah, I agree with you. It's a fantastic ingredient. I'm just always wondering and hesitant to say on the onset of starting this diet, and if you're starting from ground zero, if that's a place to be at or something to work towards. Mel, what have you seen in any of that when you're coaching new folks?
Well,
let me finish. We got pancakes on the website now that are protocol friendly, okay? And you can use that same stuff, and you can make waffles, too, if you have a waffle on it. So, yeah. You know, and in my day, I didn't even know, you know, buckwheat. I didn't know about it, okay? And right now, it's not anything part of my diet. Okay, what was the next question?
Well, I want to repeat the doctor's name that he said is an oil.
Dr. Jeffrey Blend, I think it's Blend. He's the, you'll know it's the right doctor because he's the one of the creators of the Foundation for Functional Medicine.
Okay. What about Q-U-I-N-O-A?
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
Q-U-I-N-O-A.
Oh, quinoa. She's talking about quinoa, Joe. By the way, Joe makes a very valid point for your folks early on, Mel, and you're aware of this as well. The total carbohydrates in a cup of, I can see why Terry and mine struggled, and, you know, a third of a cup of buckwheat's got to have about 25 grams of carbohydrates. So you want to monitor your carbohydrates. Joe made a very important point for you newly affected here. Nancy, you're probably aware of that. And that's probably why Carrie-Anne couldn't tolerate as much. It's a very good point. Quinoa is another ancient grain. I suggest if you can get the red quinoa, which comes from Peru, it's probably the best that we can tolerate with our disease. Again, it's a carbohydrate. It's a source of carbohydrates. It's readily digestible, and it's gluten-free, another gluten-free. The ancient grains are pretty much gluten-free. As far as we can tell, I mean, with modified foods, it's a crapshoot. But a very good source of carbohydrates, a substitute for white rice would be quinoa. I eat it regularly. Joe, I imagine you and Carrie Ann do as well. Any comments on quinoa, brother?
Yeah, regularly. A lot of times we're replacing rice, even brown rice. I think the high hierarchy is like quinoa. Then brown rice, then white rice, but quinoa, we absolutely love it. We get the surplus size, you know, from Costco and make that up. Sometimes we'll throw it into some veggie soup so we know we get a good source of fiber. And like you said, Pete, the carb on those aren't as high in some of the other ones. And also thinking about like the quinoa and some of the other wheats like buckwheat, they also have usually a higher balance of proteins as well. And more of the complete proteins because of the different amino acids in them. Like they carry really good protein benefits too compared to other straight up starches or flours out there. So we like it.
Love it.
That's another excellent point, Nancy. There's about 30 grams of carbs in a quarter of a cup, a little bit smaller serving of quinoa. But it has, again, it has dietary fiber, which is real important. It's a good source of fiber. And I would, as Joe said, I would include it in your diet. But again, you know, we don't want to get diet that's carbohydrate high. One quick comment for Lori as well. Lori, the rainbow diet is a good way for you to start. Eat as many different colored vegetables and whole foods as you can. And again, you're gleaning from this call and from Joe and our comments and Mel as well that carbohydrates are going to turn to glucose and sugar and feed the yeast overflows we have with Morgellons. So you really want to find where your tolerances lie with carbohydrates. But the best sources of them are not white bread, wheat bread, whole wheat bread, or even multigrain bread. They're the grains like buckwheat, quinoa, amaranth, spelt, millet. Any of those are better alternative substitutes, and get organic if you can.
Okay. First thing I always check on anything is carbs. But I've been reading a lot of diets and a lot of people saying they eat this, and I saw the carbs was, you know, high. You have to control the amount you eat each time. And that's why I was wondering, what about the AMARANRH, ancient grain?
Amaranth, real quick, and then I'll defer to Joe and our Mel. Amaranth is another ancient grain. Interesting history to amaranth. The Indians, Native Americans, would actually plant amaranth around their corn because it would choke out other weeds, yet when they harvested the corn, they couldn't help but harvest the amaranth with it, and they noticed that it had green qualities and that their skin actually would thrive. So amaranth has certain plant sterols that are really good for the skin, and again, really good for digestive and stool transit time. And it's another wonderful source of carbohydrates. Just make sure that the people early on here, you want to find where your tolerances are of carbohydrates, and you might want to try to keep to under 40 carbohydrates a day. Carbohydrates
I do lower than that.
Yeah, well, you've been on this protocol for quite some time, and you've restored your bioterrain in a huge way. Where some of the newbies are still, their terrain is still really corrupted from the co-infections and the Morgellon structure. So, but yeah, I hope that answers your question, Joe. Joe, what do you think about my comments the amaranth as another grain substitute or bread substitute?
I'll be honest, Pete, I think I've maybe heard that word once or twice. I'm not sure. I don't have a lot of information or detail on it, but everything you're saying, with your research and knowledge, I trust that's probably what it is and true.
Yeah, you guys had a situation here, Mel. Remember I shared it with you on cassava flour? Anybody that's using cassava flour contains arsenic. So it's a staple diet for some Pacific Islander groups, but they also eat, come to find out, we were wondering why it didn't affect them negatively, because it'll kill you or make you very sick at least. They always eat fermented foods with their meals. So something about the process of fermented foods has wonderful ways to downregulate toxicity in foods. And the cyanide is actually eliminated from the cassava root. So be very careful as a point of making when you read or when you look, Nancy, to cassava flours. Coconut flours are really good. But cassava flour I would use, I was alarmed when I saw you guys asking about that because I don't want you to get toxic from eating cassava flour. So very small amounts of that, okay?
All right. What about nutritional yeast?
Nutritional yeast is excellent. You can get that from, you can supplement that. You can get it from Red Rice Bran. But also, a good way to get nutritional yeast is to just drink a good organic kombucha drink that you can buy in the health food store.
I don't do any yeast in anything because that's something I really have a problem with. And I keep reading recipes with that in it. I wondered, was it different from regular yeast they use in bread and stuff, or is it something that we can have some of or not?
Yeah, I'd be interested to hear Joe's views. Mel might know something about nutritional yeast as well. It's a different type of yeast. I think it's extremely important to get nutritional yeast as part of a well-balanced diet. Again, you know, it's yeast is important when it comes to fungus, but nutritive yeast is different. It's a different form of yeast. Joe, anything you can add on that? I'm not real strong on that other than drinking kombucha.
Yeah, nutritional yeast, like you said, for the nutritional benefits are there. It's
eating the dry seaweed. That seems to be good.
Red algae, yeah. That doesn't surprise me.
Okay, and phyllum husk powder. I can't pronounce that right, I'm sure. P-S-Y-L-L-I-U-M, husk powder. I see that in a lot of recipes.
I didn't hear your spelling of the first part. Can you spell it again?
Yeah, P-S-Y-L-L-U-M. Husk.
Oh, psyllium husk. Yeah, those are pretty harsh forms of fiber. You can get nutritive yeast is really, I do know it's prevalent in wheat berries, which is the kernel part of wheat. But again, wheat is going to give us gluten, and gluten will create a lot of insensitivities that can lead to leaky gut with our disease. So we want to be very careful of eating the types of bread. Before we end today, Mel, I'd like to take just a couple of minutes and go through different types of bread, because I know you like bread, including your baguettes.
Hey, you know, it's part of food, glorious food. I mean, what's a good meal without a good bread?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you know, we got like soda breads, flatbreads, ciabatta. We want to, of course, avoid cornbread. There's brioches, pumpernickels, sourdough. There's all kinds of rye. There's all kinds of really good breads out there. But the white, the wheat, the whole grain, and the multigrain and whole grain have different properties as well. So if you guys want to do that before we close today, that's really kind of what I wanted to bring, because I love bread. I know you love bread, Mel, and that's one of the things we have to watch. There are healthy breads we can eat that are going to give us nutritive values. Some are even made with fermentation, pumpernickel, that we can eat and tolerate really well with our disease. And I discovered them when I was getting well, so I can share those with you guys as well.
One thing with the bread, that it's hard to find bread made without yeast. That's why we've been making our own. Now, I did have one at health food stores made out of millet, and it said no yeast. But they have changed in the last year, and now it's saying yeast in it.
Mm-hmm. Well, your soda bread is a good alternative if you can find it. Soda bread uses baking soda as a leavening agent. It doesn't use yeast, so that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay. I look at everything. If there's a yeast in it, forget it. I don't even worry about it.
And Mel, you eat brioche, right, Mel?
Say what now?
You like brioche. You eat brioche regularly, right?
You know, I have it, but I haven't been eating it as much lately. Okay, I've been cutting back on the breads.
Okay? Yeah, well,
I had my first garlic bread the other night. Then it must have been 2-3 months, you know, on that gluten-free baguette I like. But I mean, I had a beautiful pastrami sandwich on pumpernickel with sauerkraut.
Ah, okay. So pumpernickel, it's a great bread. Pumpernickel it's made from coarsely ground rye. So, and it's fermented with sourdough starter, which is, again, a different form of yeast. I always ate sourdough, and sourdough, again, comes from a fermentation starter rather than yeast. So we eliminate the yeast, resulting in a much more sour taste, but a much healthier bread as far as the fungal overgrowth we deal with. The brioches that you like so well are made from, they have the addition of eggs, milk, and butter. So it modifies the fat contents and, again, becomes a very healthy substitute. So rye, pumpernickel is fermented. The brioche is a good bread, and the soda bread. All of those are going to keep you from dealing with yeast in the fermentation process, okay? And then sprouted breads as well. If you remember, Mel, I know you remember Ellen. Ellen advocated for the Ezekiel breads, and she got well eating those regularly. They're sprouted, and they include in the grains that are in those breads are rye, lentils, and beans. It comes from Ezekiel 49, where God in Deuteronomy gave the part of the dietary laws for us to eat by. And so that's another good bread alternative. You want to avoid white, you want to avoid wheat, you want to avoid whole wheat, and you want to avoid multigrain. The only one that's within these categories that I would say is acceptable, aside from the ones we're discussing, are whole grain. because whole grain is actually made with the grains that are left intact. So you're going to get barley, brown rice, and different types of fiber and nutrients in a whole grain bread. But whole wheat or multigrain are not good. So we see how advertising kind of corrupts us in how we're led to make our choices. But stay with the sourdoughs, with the soda breads, pumpernickels, and rye is your best choice for bread. You can tolerate those in small amounts, but you don't have to go completely without bread, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You bet. Great question. Well, thank you.
All right, we're going to move on here. Linda, come in, Linda.
Hi, Mel. Hi, everybody. Thank you guys for being here today. I'm just listening. I'm taking it all in. I don't really have any questions. Only we can have meat in moderation, I believe, right? That's what I do anyway, chicken and, you know, organic.
Yeah, Joe, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, in my original diet, I had meat 3 times in a week. Not 3 times in a day. Not every day. 3 times in a week. And so that's always been a guideline for me. I mean, remember, when we talk about everything, one of the guiding principles is everybody's body is different. So even when we talk about carbs, some people handle more carbs easily. Other people don't handle carbs at all. So that's why Peter said you have to find your level. That's going to be in all things that a diet. You've got to find your personal tolerance level. You want to do the things that are most going to aid you in restoring your health. Okay, we're going to keep on, Peter, because we still got a bunch of people here. All right, 530. I still don't really know exactly who that is, but you're welcome. Would you like to ask a question? I guess not. All right, well, like I said, you're welcome. I hope you're learning something. Catherine of the Desert. Come in, Catherine.
No, I don't have any questions. I'm just enjoying listening.
All right. So now we move on to Caron. Caron, come in, Caron.
Hi, everybody. I have no questions at this time, but I'm getting a lot that I did have answered already. So thank you for that.
All right.
Hey, Caron.
How you doing, sir? We joined us. Aunt Laura, do you have any questions?
I actually did, and while I was listening, the question got answered. I also had a couple of questions about the organic buckwheat, which I have recently added to my diet because of having diverticulitis issues, which I actually spoke to Peter about, and this has been doing. Sorry, are you there?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes, we're all here.
Okay. No, and my phone keeps saying unmuted, so I wasn't sure what was going on. But anyway, so that was my question, was the organic buckwheat, which I now use in the morning with a little cinnamon, a little Kerrygold butter, and a little of the stevia. And I actually add a little bit of banana now because I am recovered from this, and but again, diet is so important. So, but that was my question. So, thank you. I felt like it was answered.
Glad you're doing better, Laura.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for being here, sweetheart. And thanks for those kind words. We love you, Laura, for your listeners. It came around years back and has been well for a number of years, but she works in a highly stressful, I hope I'm not saying too much, Laura, works in a highly stressful environment, a stressful environment in the classroom. I've been in a classroom for a lot of my life. And so stress is, it can present challenges to us, you know, but she's been healthy for how many years now, Laura?
I'm going to say 4.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations, sister.
Yes, thank you. Yes, yes. And yeah, so again, just to confirm to everybody how important diet is, because I struggle with it off and on, as most of us probably do, but just understanding the importance of it. And I know when a new symptom comes on, I know it's like, oh, you've got to get back to basics, get back to your diet. And believe it or not, everything clears up. So it's just so important.
Amen. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're here. It shows folks here, Mel, that this protocol works, and the current dogma that we cannot overcome Morgellons disease is just not true. You, myself, Joe and Carrie Ann now, especially Carrie Ann. I don't know if Joe's ever had the challenge. Laura, Kathy, Donna, I mean, Mary, I mean, Janelle, Roberta, we can go back years with just several people that have recaptured their life. And it always saddens me that not more people find their way here into this protocol and to the notion that bioremediation and diet and stress management and healthy exercise, that old equation, is really what your protocol demonstrates and what actually allows the body to heal itself. Our own immune system has to deal with this disease. Mel's been telling you guys this for years. It's a disease of immune suppression, adrenal fatigue, endocrine, which is messaging, gets out of whack. It's a systemic assault across every organ system. And what does Mel's protocol do? It gives you adequate support across every organ system. Then when you modify your diet and bring certain aspects of nutritional macro and micronutrients alongside the Logos support, the Logos protocol, and the other products he provides for specific challenges, you get the total package. And then you see that Morgellons is more of a state than a thing, as I've told you guys before. The bio-terrain changes. The immune system comes back online. The adrenals come back online. Energy comes back. Brain fatigue goes away. And even the Lyme, the neural Lyme that I dealt with that was crippling me in terms of coordination and thinking, all of that restored as well. But it all comes through, you know, the God-given way we were created, wonderfully and fearfully made. Our own immune system is what comes back. And cancer is a perfect example, if I might just say one last thing. If we look at cancer cells, they're cells that will not die. They go rogue, basically. But cancer cells are able to kill us. So what does that say to the potential power of cells to heal us on the flip side? So if we look at immune cells, all the cascade of different white cells that we have that make up our immune system, if we can, through diet and restoring the terrain, empower those cells to the same degree that cancer cells empower themselves by going rogue, we've got the potential to see how the cells do the healing on their own. All we have to do is take away from the cells what they do not need and give them what they need and get out of the way and let the terrain bring itself back into a state of health. So many people with Morgellons miss that. They're focusing on the problem and not on the solution. And that is the solution. Just get that terrain healthy again. Get all those systems back online. The skin doesn't have to take up for bowel and bladder overload anymore. So the skin comes back. Health comes back. Brain function comes back. And we reach the point of remission that Mel and myself and Laura and so many others have. So I just like to give that quick, I digress, but that quick understanding so that any newbies here or anybody struggling here can stay committed to the process of letting the body heal on its own. Okay? Thanks, Mel, for letting me say that.
No, no problem. I mean, the issue has always been patience. You know, people don't understand. It took them 34 years to get so sick that this happened. Well, now it's going to take 3, 4, maybe 5 years, depending on your personal circumstances and your stress levels, okay, to get well. And, you know, people always want the quick fix, but there is no quick fix, unfortunately.
No, and look at Joe now. Carrie Ann struggled early on. I followed your journey, Joe, and her journey, and you've come alongside her, which is what family members don't do often. As her husband, you should be commended and encouraged as the example you set for others, because family members often abandon us with this disease and we Yes. become isolated and alone. But you also represent, look at how far Carrie Ann's come. By the way, your daughter's beautiful, brother. What a blessing. God didn't bless me with children. But that said, she has come so far
And she's fulfilling another aspect of how this protocol restores and renews our lives. And I take so much joy when I see pictures of you guys vacationing with your child. And just that's why Mel and I do it, to see the value of how we can come back when we understand how this protocol works. So congratulations to your wife. And I'm just so proud of you guys and what you've accomplished. And you set a wonderful example for folks here. And it's an honor to be here with you today as well, Joseph.
Thanks, Steve. I really appreciate those comments. It's Gary. It's just wonderful to hear those words and be part of this community and journey. Thank you, brother, for everything that you provide to this group.
Amen, brother. Amen. Bless you. God bless you.
They certainly got a beautiful little baby there, boy. Let me tell you, she's going to be a murderer when she's older.
Something else, you see? I'll say, yeah, I can agree with that completely. What a blessing.
All right. All right, anybody have a question that they'd like to get answered now? Because we just don't have the kind of time to go around the room again. You got to hit 5-star or star 5 until it says hand raised, okay, or school. One or the other, we allow screaming here. All right, nobody has a question, all right? How about you want to say something in closing, Peter?
My message is always the same. First, I want to thank you, Mel, for all you're doing for the toxic disease community and your faithfulness to your faith, to the Lord, and, you know, how you honor him and serve him and what a gift you are to the greater toxic disease community. You know, you mentioned earlier, you know, your degree of understanding is different from mine. Mine is different from Joe's. But God chooses us all. He gives us a different measure and a different gift. And without you, it doesn't work. So first, my message is always thank you to you for what you're doing. Secondly, God has brought you guys here. I can assure you of that. He has his hand on you here. And he will turn your brokenness into something very significant. Relationship with Christ in these times of walking is vital to health. By his stripes we are healed. The spirit of Christ moves through our body and allows us to make choices all the way down to dietary choices to how we treat people and how we look at the greater totality of what's going on biblically from a global perspective. So make the Bible your best friend. I've always signed off that way, Mel. You know me for years now. Remain in a constant conversation with God. Release your faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for but not yet seen. So God has already given you the health that you seek. Call it forth and give thanks ahead of time. Stay patient. Be profoundly committed to the significance of this protocol as the way back, the science behind it. Continue to support John and Logos because of we need good, healthy companies. We need this protocol. And follow the guiding principles. That's always my message. And God bless you guys. I pray for you all every day. And you just can't fake the health that Mel and I and Carrie Ann and Joe and others, you know, demonstrate through this protocol and through what we're trying to teach today. So I love you all. Thanks, Mel, for giving me a voice here today. And Joe, again, carry on, brother. It's an honor to be here with you today. Hope I didn't take too much too much time, but God bless you, brother.
Great. This was wonderful being with you, Pete and Mel, for coordinating.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, Joe, would you like to say something in closing?
Just echoing what Pete said, it's just amazing to be part of this community, to use our talents that we have to support one another, use the knowledge, lean on each other. Everything Pete said, you know, go into the Bible, go into God, go into the Lord, because this thing that we're dealing with, there's no good medical science around it. We just have to trust and believe the stuff that Peter and Mel have been through and the guidance they have, and praying and praying and praying, because the Lord is our ultimate healer. So just being here to be able to help do what we feel is part of the Lord's work, that's just what just feels great about being here. And I'm privileged to be here with you all.
Okay, well, I want to thank both you boys, okay? No, so I call you boys, you men, young men, for being here today and lending your expertise, because these guys learned a heck of a lot of stuff today, and It's recorded, so it's now going to be here for everybody in the future. And hopefully sometime in the late spring we'll do another diet show, and maybe Miss Tia will be able to join us at that point. But guys, thank you very much. I want to thank everybody who came today and brought their questions. It was terrific stuff. Does anybody have anything they want to say before we say goodbye for now? Oh, I do. Contest. I'll be having a post put up later today or early tomorrow morning. Place your entries for the final contest of the season. Clean Green, Natural Genesis, No Rules, Everything Goes, Why You Like or Love Kathy, Clean Green, the starting kit, the whole company. Anything you want to say, keep it under 1,000 words, please. All right. Don't forget tomorrow, best 2 hours of the week, prayer and fellowship, encouraging stories, and horrible jokes. So be with us then, and we'll see you next Saturday, and I've got no clue what we're doing yet. Okay. Oh, and remember, there's a lot more posting going on. I want you guys to keep it up. Oh, that's what I wanted to talk about. Last month was the busiest month we've had in 5 years. No kidding. I put it out there for you to look at under we were even busy during the holidays. I had the webmaster make a picture of last month's attendance. 160,000 pages read. 1,300 or 1,400 people came. Okay? 70% were new people. It never was like that in the past. These last 4 or 6 months, there's been a real switch to new people outweighing regulars because more regulars are getting well and leaving. So, keep it up, okay? The more you read, the more you know. Knowledge is everything here. The more you understand, the less you fear, the easier it is to just keep on keeping on. God bless everybody. I want to thank everybody, especially Joe and Peter, and those of you who joined us today. Have a good weekend. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye, everyone.
Thank you, Mel.
Thank you.
Take care, folks.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye,
thank you.
Five-three-zero. Do you want to identify yourself? Okay, I guess not. Duncan, do you want to say anything before we call it a day? Okay, I guess not. Goodbye, everyone. That's it. From Hollywood.